Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, your host, and today we're going to get into the issue, should reading be taught whole class or small group? That can get kind of controversial. I think you might recognize that we don't usually try to skirt or duck controversial issues. We don't court controversy, but sometimes there's just no way around it. This is a blast from the past. These podcasts are based on a blog that I publish, Shanahan on Literacy. And this blog first posted on April 28th, 2018, and it was reposted on November 23rd, 2019. It's now being reposted on June 14th, 2025. And this will be the first time that it's in podcast form. So they'll really be new as a podcast. Now, that original blog, the content has been adjusted, new content has been added, and the original posting included no research references, but it includes plenty now. What got me to want to revisit this is I received a recent question from a teacher that says, I respect your opinion and would love to get your thoughts on some new information that is out right now. In our community, the idea of providing core foundational skills instruction to small groups is being promoted as the science of reading. Our schools teach foundational skills on a whole classroom basis and then use tiered intervention time for filling gaps. This has been highly effective. Could you help to clarify this issue? The reason, I always shorten these letters a bit. The reason she wrote was, in fact, their plan of teaching whole class and then going back with small groups as necessary was really based on this original blog entry. So she wanted to know, I guess, if I had reconsidered this given these new claims. The original blog was written in response to the following teacher question. I was curious what your thoughts are regarding small group instruction in elementary school during the ELA block. I'm unaware of any definitive research on the effect size of small group instruction or the impact it has regarding student achievement and reading. There seems to be a few different schools of thought: direct whole group instruction for all components of reading, shortened whole group reading followed by differentiated small group instruction, whole group instruction followed by student work groups facilitated by teacher walking around. Seems all three could be effective depending on the students, the teacher, and rigor of text or content being used. However, I'm curious if there's a research-based recommendation. And so this podcast is really a response to those two letters. And here's my response to them. Small group teaching is ubiquitous in elementary reading classes. That was true when I myself was being taught to read 65 years ago, though our classes then were so large that small group meant groups about the size of today's typical class. You know, I was in a small reading group that had usually about 18 to 22 kids in it. By the beginning of the 20th century, there was much within-class grouping, but that was often due to the pervasive one-room schoolhouse. Those groups were the different grade levels. My dad was a product of such a school, and he bragged for years that he'd graduated at the top of his class, meaning that the other kid flunked. When I was first exploring the idea of becoming a teacher, the lore of the time was that reading teachers always had three reading groups: the Robins, the Blue Jays, and, yep, the Crows. As a teacher's aide, it certainly looked that way to me, and I wasn't surprised during my student teaching when Mr. Krenson had me take over those leveled reading groups one at a time. Admittedly, as a primary grade teacher, I always grouped my kids for reading instruction. Studies have long reported that more than 90% of primary grade teachers group for reading, with a high incidence of this in the upper grades as well. Historically, small group reading instruction It was aimed at matching kids with books of certain levels, a practice the effectiveness of which is refuted in my forthcoming book, A Leveled Reading, Leveled Lives. As that more recent letter above illustrates, now small group teaching is likely to be aimed at phonics and not as a follow-up for those stragglers, but as initial teaching. Where this valencing of small group literacy teaching is going to end is anybody's guess. Kids need instruction in words, fluency, comprehension, and writing. Perhaps we could have three groups for each for a two-hour block that would allow for 10 minutes of teaching of each topic to each group each day. Future research could sort out how long it's going to take for such an approach to drive the average teacher insane. This blog entry was originally written with a focus on those typical leveled reading groups, along with an odd practice that was starting to appear in the 2010s. Schools were and are organizing their schedules around small group time. Schools that require a period of small group teaching are mindlessly promoting the value of such teaching, no matter the situation. I was seeing identical lessons taught to one small group after another to accomplish some principal's or curriculum coordinator's small group mandate. I thought this recent shift to foundational skills by small group advocates would require a whole new response from me. But a careful review of the research shows this to be unnecessary. Their use of the term science of reading must only refer to their commitment to phonics and not to any research supporting their small group approach. I had largely completed this rewrite when I came across a quote that brought me up short. And this is the quote. Research has shown us that the traditional whole class phonics lesson is not the way to develop fluent readers, not for kindergartners, or in fact for any students in any grade level. Wow. I hunted for that research, but of course there wasn't any. People make those kinds of assertions and then cite sources that don't actually support the idea they claimed. In this case, a paper by Nell Duke and Anne Mesmer was cited, which explicitly recommends teaching phonics whole class with small group follow-up as needed. Completely different idea than what that quote seems to promise. Does small group teaching advantage kids in learning to read? That's the real issue. Well, John Hattie identified three meta-analyses on small group instruction and reported it to have a medium to large effect size when it came to learning. The effect size that he reported was 0.49. However, few of the studies in those meta-analyses had focused on reading, and they weren't always comparing small group teaching to whole class instruction, and some of the reading studies were from back in the day when those 45 to 60 kids in a class was common practice. Several of the studies were even based on secondary school and college teaching, too. Robert Slavin conducted some best evidence syntheses that I think are more relevant. He looked at the research on grouping back in the 1980s and found an overall effect size of 0.32, a bit lower than what Hattie was talking about. But at that time, he found no reading studies that compared grouping for reading instruction with whole class teaching. Not exactly the evidentiary base I was hoping for. However, even if we were to rely on those existing meta-analyses, the payoff of grouping for reading instruction specifically had lower effects than were found for other subjects. In fact, for reading, it's only about 0.13, which is really pretty tenuous. And it mattered a great deal how large the groups were. Groups of five or larger received little or no learning benefit from within-class grouping, meaning that most teachers would require at least 4 to 6 groups to cover their classroom. There are a couple of sizable and especially pertinent individual studies that I think we should consider, however. For example, Michael Camille and Christine Rauscher conducted a study in which they compared whole-class reading instruction with small group teaching in a large suburban school district. Surprisingly, they found that small groups were not superior to whole class teaching in terms of learning. there was just too much variance within classrooms for the grouping patterns to have much of an impact. That's a direct quote from their study. Even more sobering is a large study of grouping in reading conducted by Sorensen and Hallinan. They found small group teaching more effective than whole class instruction. That is, if one compares 30 minutes of small group teaching versus 30 minutes of whole class teaching, the kids in the small group tend to make larger learning gains. However, they also found small group teaching provides kids with fewer learning opportunities. Basically, teachers teach more content when working with whole classes. Comparing equal amounts of small group teaching with whole class teaching might make sense to researchers, but it has little to do with the actual circumstances of America's classrooms. If a teacher has three groups who each receive 20 minutes of teaching, this should not be compared with 20 minutes of whole class instruction, but with 60 minutes, the time it takes to teach those three reading groups. And in fact, it may be fair to compare it with 65 to 75 minutes because it takes transition time to manage those groups and to move in and out of them. When one compares small group and whole class instruction in this more appropriate way, small group teaching loses any advantage. That is, no differences in average learning. Of course, there are no such studies focused on foundational skills instruction like phonics. This is a case where it is necessary to generalize from the existing data, which of course shows no consistent benefit to small group approaches. In the 2020s, there have been a number of studies of the effectiveness of small group decoding interventions, but none that compare them with whole class teaching. Interestingly, those recent studies reveal a decided unevenness of results. Research simply doesn't find small group teaching to be especially powerful or particularly consistent. It's just not a panacea. As one study concluded, and this is a quote, "For many students, simply receiving evidence-based reading instruction in a small group setting is insufficient." One explanation of this ineffectiveness is the great dosage differences that the approach creates. The more small groups, the less teaching anyone receives. That unevenness is complicated by the complex nature of literacy learning. The simple view of reading says reading depends on developing two components, decoding and language. If we group instruction for one component, we must reduce its dosage to accommodate those additional lessons. Or if we group for one component and maintain its dosage, we must reduce the time accorded to the other, which is a bad deal too. You need both components. Neglecting one to serve the other may provide a temporary boost in screening test results, but overall, it won't help kids to become successful readers. I'm not sure how folks who encourage small group foundational skills teaching want the kids grouped. There are many possibilities. It could be done randomly, reducing the number of kids taught at one time without altering the heterogeneity that teachers face in teaching whole classes. More likely, their plan is to separate the better decoders from the strugglers. There are no direct studies of this, but those studies of separating kids based on reading level are pretty informative. Sorensen and Hallinan concluded that high-achieving groups tended to gain learning opportunities when separated, but that such opportunities were actually diminished or reduced for the lower achieving groups when they were put into groups. An unevenness of group experience still evident in those more recent studies. That earlier research showed that Black kids and poor kids were more likely to be placed in those low groups and that they ended up with lower rather than greater progress. While there was not any overall or average learning benefit from small group teaching, there was a rotation, ensuring that the most vulnerable kids learned less, not more. My conclusion from all this is that small group teaching can be beneficial. teaching a lesson to fewer kids under some circumstances can improve the impact of the lesson. This advantage is far from certain, however, and because amount of instruction, dosage, matters too, we should be concerned about the reduction in teaching that small group approaches usually impose. At best, this results in a trade-off. The kids seem to learn more in each lesson, but the reduction in curriculum coverage trashes those benefits. However, it's also likely that this trade-off is an uneven one, an unfair one, conferring a small learning benefit to the most advantaged kids while delivering more substantial social and academic harm to the most disadvantaged. I don't think we should prohibit small group or even individual teaching, because sometimes we can gain well-targeted learning benefits from them. But I would use these tools strategically. I would never organize my instruction with the purpose of making small group time available on a daily basis. In fact, I would try to minimize my reliance on small group teaching whenever possible. Instead of encouraging more and more small group teaching, districts should provide professional development in the most effective ways to deliver whole class instruction. This should include attention to the nature and use of seat work. Seat work is needed in both small group and whole class instruction. With small groups, the emphasis is typically on keeping the kids busy while the teacher works with other groups. You know, shut up sheets. However, for whole class teaching, the assignments can be more instructional since the teacher is able to circulate among the kids while they work on the assignments, giving support and additional guidance, in other words, teaching. My watchword is never do with a small group what you could do just as well with whole class teaching. And that will be the final word today on that subject. This podcast and the blog that it's based upon should be posted on June 14th, 2025. If you are interested in a written version of this, I suggest you go to the Shanahan on Literacy website, and you can look for that June 14th publication, Should Reading Be Taught Whole Class or Small Group? It includes 15 research citations, so you can find those references, and it also has a link to the 64 comments that the original posting elicited. With that, I would like to thank our sound engineer extraordinaire, Greg Johnson, and thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you up the road a piece.